Welcome to the Pazos Podcast. I'm Josh, joined with Kevin and Jason.
Hey, hey. We've been doing this too long. Jinx!
Are you guys getting hyped on our music?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I am. I really am. I'm waiting for the Psycho Stick beer to come up, though. I think we're going
to
do it.
I got to get you to suggest that to me. Find it, and I will put it on.
I'll do it.
But all right, guys, this is episode 8. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Whether you be joining us through WLXG.com or if you are a subscriber, we definitely appreciate it through iTunes or Google Play. Thank you so much for tuning in. And, guys, we're going to be talking about quite a few things today, but one thing is for certain. We have a New England IPA in front of us.
We do.
This is something that's brand new, something that a lot of people haven't heard of around here. Kevin, I'm gonna let you lead.
Yeah, tell us just introduce this concept to you guys today. And the New England IPA is basically a flavor that's come out of some of the breweries that's around the Boston market, the Vermont market, and some places in Maine. Some of these breweries have really captured what it means to be hoppy without even being all that bitter. It's really kind of cool. Right now, the reason why we're tasting this beer is because the Bearded Iris Brewing Company in Nashville, Tennessee, has adopted that New England style flavor, and they started making these beers down there. Now, if you're not familiar with Bearded Iris, no problem. They're brand new to our market. But they only make basically IPAs. They make a zillion of them, and they make them with three different hops usually, and each combination of hops a little bit differently. They'll do pale ales, they'll do IPAs, they'll do session IPAs, they'll do imperial IPAs. They do a ton of different IPAs. But the one thing that makes them unique is that New England style flavor they're really trying to do. And that thing started with Alchemist Heady Topper. You guys had a Heady Topper?
Yeah.
Fantastic beer. It's still one of my favorite beers I've ever had, especially whenever you're talking about things that come from a hoppy standpoint. But when we talk about the New England style, really what we're talking about a beer is front-loaded with hops on the aroma stages, on the flavor stages. In other words, when you brew the beer, you may not be that interested in putting beer even at the bitter stages. You're going to wait until the end of the boil to throw in a lot of hops. And then once you cut off the boil, then you're going to throw in even more hops to capture more aroma, more flavor. And then even as the beer's ferment, you're going to throw in beers at the late stages of fermentation so it doesn't... The vigorous nature of fermentation doesn't push all those aromas and all those flavors out of the fermenter. It retains in the beer. And then after the beer is finished fermenting, now it goes to the conditioning phase. You're going to throw even more hops in there. It used to be when the West Coast IPA was developed, they used to say, well, we don't want to use too much on the aroma distance because we feel like we're wasting the hops if we don't extract the bitterness. This is the opposite approach. They don't even care if they get a whole lot of bitterness. In other words, these IPAs may not even achieve an IBU range of 70, which is about as bitter as you can make a beer through the use of hops. They don't even care if they get that bitter. They want the finish to be very, very smooth, but they want up front, they want to carry so much of that hop character, which is juicy with citrus flavors and tropical flavors and these exotic fruits, Hawaiian fruit flavors, Hawaiian punch kind of characteristics, that they don't even care if it's bitter at all. They just want that upfront aroma to be what they call juicy. And you hear that term juicy when it comes to these IPAs because it tastes like you just took a fruit right off the branch. You squeeze it into a glass and it just happened to be beer. And you're drinking, and you're loving it, and it gives you a buzz, and everything's right in the world.
Yeah. I definitely noticed that the nose on this. You get that really hoppy, like it's a for people that are used to West Coast IPAs, it's a little bit of a chameleon because it's sort of like you put your nose to it and it smells like what you're used to, the Simcoe, the Citra, the really really hoppy, resinous hops, and then you take the first sip and it's like totally changes your
it really
your
does
view.
Yeah, one of the key things to these New England style IPAs is that they use a lot of flour. In other words, whatever grain you're using to brewing, whether it be a wheat, whether it be a barley, or whether it be something else, they've learned to pulverize that stuff. In other words, turn it into a powder. So when you brew with it, they don't dare filter the stuff. Because when you filter a beer, yeah, you're removing the haze, but you're also removing flavor. And they won't dare do that. They'd rather the beer be extremely hazy. If you look at this beer in front of us, it looks like tapioca. It looks chunky almost. It looks very hazy. And so they want that because if it has all the haze, that means you have all the flavor too. So they celebrate that to the the greater degree. Now, the criticism of some of these beers is that, well, if it sits on the shelf, then all of a sudden it's not going to last real long because all those things that create that kind of haze or create that kind of flavor can eventually become a detriment to the beer. But whenever it tastes this juicy and this radiant, this succulent, this vibrant, has a kind of tangy sherbet, creamsicle kind of approach to it, who's going to let this sit on the shelf?
No one does.
Yeah. This stuff flies off the shelf right now. So right now, Bearded Iris and, you know, the kind of the breweries that kind of send stuff like this out there, they don't sit on the shelves. They sell very, very quickly. So our local breweries, if you're listening up, make a New England style IPA. You're going to kill it.
I think the one thing you got to look out for, though, is since these are a smaller percentage of the market, if they become too big a percentage of the market, they will sit on the shelf longer.
They could. They really could. And you know what? And that is the convenient problem to have if you're a brewery. That means something's got so popular, now it's passé. Now you have to move on to a new tree, a new precedence.
I think this is definitely one they need to add to the wheelhouse, though.
Man, I'll tell you what. If there's a local brewery can put out a beer kind of like what they're doing, they're going to kill it.
Yeah. You know, as far as layman's terms go, it's like if a fruit juice was a beer. Like if there was a beer of fruit juice.
Like a Radler?
Like beer juice, I'm saying. Like this is beer juice. It is so fruity. It tastes really good. And, I mean, it's thick. It's almost got, like, that juicy sort of taste, like almost as though it's got pulp in it.
Exactly. It has a very creamy upstart, but it has a fairly dry finish. And that's really kind of nice to do, especially when the beer is not all that bitter. Right now we're talking about the Chief of Chiefs, which is the variety from Bearded Iris. And it's made with Citra hops, which is the most sexy hop on the planet right now. People can't get
Everyone's
enough of that.
Using this.
Also, Mosaic. Mosaic
very
is a really hot
hop. Right,
yeah, exactly. But if that's not your wife, that's your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they're also basically bittering with Simcoe, which used to be a hop that people thought was too aggressive because it has very cannabis-like undertones, very grassy, very stemmy. But that hop has really made a big comeback in recent years because people have a tendency to kind of gravitate toward those flavors.
I think one of the things we've talked about in the past, too, was a lot of people's problems with IPA if you don't really see yourself liking that style of beer is the bitterness. Mm-hmm. It's not the hoppiness. A lot of people love the hops. They love that depth of flavor that you get from the hops, but it's the bitterness that they don't like, and this is a really good counterpoint to that.
That's right. It's like a slightly bittered sherbet or a slightly bittered creamsicle.
I'm not a hophead. I'm not one of those guys that likes really bitter, hoppy beers. But this is fantastic.
I am. I love IPAs. I want hops. I want to be so damn bitter. It makes my teeth sweat. That's what I want.
No, I like the Belgians. I like the Scottish ales with the really heavy malt. I like, you know, stouts and that kind of thing. I don't mind the bitterness from stouts, but there is something about the combination of bitterness with hoppiness that if it gets too heavy, it can go
extreme. It can get grassy. It can get very green flavor, stemmy. You can actually taste the chlorophyll of the plant if they push it too much. And at some point, it becomes a detriment. I do agree with that.
I got to tell you, I'm really enjoying this whole New England IPA style. It's, like you said, it's cloudy. It's a little bit different, but at the same time, it's got pretty much what I look for in my IPA. You know, it's got that fruitiness sort of taste to it. And like I said, in layman's terms, it's a little bit of a beer juice. And I'm really digging that. I think that they should trademark that and maybe make a certain beer that is beer juice.
That'd be a great name for a local beer.
Yeah, seriously, let's do that.
Beer juice.
But, all right, so furthering into our discussion of topics that we have at hand, we've got a few different things going on right now. Let's talk about Kentucky Derby beers. There are a few things out there. It is seasonal. Kentucky Derby is coming right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, cue it up, right? It's time.
Anytime you talk about Derby, you got to talk about bourbon.
You do.
So those bourbon stouts that we were talking about are always
great idea. Great. Oh, bad idea. Because guess what? You're going to be drinking a lot of them.
Yeah.
And you're going to be at it all day long.
And then I saw a beer recently. You might be able to give me a little bit of information on it. The Braxton Mint Julep beer.
The Mint Julep beer. Because everybody loves mint juleps. Well, everybody loves the idea of mint juleps.
No, I love mint juleps. I like them too.
I do too. When they're made well, they actually can be really enjoyable. The bourbon characteristic, that those caramels, the vanillins, and those kind of things, like that soft oakiness comes through. It can sometimes be a little bit almond or a little even cashew. Like, really enjoy that. But the spices of the bourbon gets really, really high. Guess what? You dilute that a little bit with some sugar. You do a little bit with some ice. And all of a sudden, you throw some mint on there. And you start building these really intriguing layers. It's really kind of cool. Braxton Brewing Company has actually captured all those flavors in their Kentucky home beer that they released here recently. It's in a Bombers. It's available at your better retailers around town, Beer Trap. And and it's actually kind of nice because one thing they've done is they've created a beer flavor. It has the hot bitterness in the finish. It has a little bit of a somber body. In other words, those mint juleps, they're kind of sippers. You don't have to sip this thing. You can drink it. It's 6% alcohol. And it won't tax your stomach too much. It won't tax your palate too much. But it has all those hallmarks of the bourbon, of the oak, of the vanillins and caramels and all that stuff coming through. The mint's very prominent. It really does a nice job. But none of those flavors beat you over the head. It's actually a well-balanced beer that comes at you in a very drinkable form. And it's really kind of really nice. So we really like that. But if you don't have that one at your disposal, there's a whole slew of bourbon barrel beers on the market right now. The problem is most of them are high alcohol. You may want to sip against your better judgment.
Well, you got to sip bourbon, too.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Depends on what kind of crowd you run with.
My recommendation for the best mint julep you've ever had is, shameless plug, just a splash of L8.
Ah, there
yes.
you go.
Just a splash.
That's the local favorite.
Just a little bit of ginger.
Honestly,
and that carbonation
I agree.
Completely makes it.
Ginger and mint go real well together. There's
really,
no question
really nice
about that. That's
fantastic. And L8 and bourbon in general just go incredibly well together.
Yeah, we're in the right market for that combination,
yes,
aren't we?
Just a splash, though. You don't want to take away from those people that are real mint julep traditionalists.
But all right, so furthering more, we were talking about a little bit bourbon stouts there. What do you got? What are you guys' favorites as far as bourbon stouts go?
KBS.
It's hard to argue that. That's one we talked about last
yes.
Last week, and that was a fantastic beer. Abyss, they have a series, or I'm sorry, the Deschutes carries the Abyss brand of Imperial Stouts. They put those in bourbon barrels often, and those are fantastic.
Sort of
North.
A bourbon one is the Lagunitas High Westified. They,
ooh, that's
High
so
West
good.
Makes, High West makes great bourbon, but they're not exactly a Kentucky-friendly brand. I mean, well, that, some of those guys that...
You know what? They taste so good. They're starting to win over this Kentucky
yeah,
crowd pretty quickly, though. Yeah, but Lagunitas, they make an Imperial style. They age in those High Westified barrels, and all of a sudden, it's a fantastic... Or High West barrels make the High Westified style, and it's a fantastic style. And the price points on that one is so low, it's hard not to love.
They also do a Willet
They do
version
the Willet
of
barrel, yeah. All these craft distillers are starting to come out. They're starting to retire those barrels, and brewers can't be happier to pick those up and throw their beers and we'll see what turns out. So they
Avery's got a bunch of those really nice bourbon barrel aged beers too.
Yeah, Uncle Jacob Stout's one of those we have in stock right now, 15% alcohol. Be careful, folks. If you're going to tailgate with that
Jesus.
Guy, you're going to find yourself in trouble. You end up watching the Ditch instead of the Derby. Be careful.
Guys, we've almost come to the end. Again, I just want to take a few minutes. We've lost a fellow compadre, a guy that has been here several times for Pint Night, and several times is an understatement. He's usually always here, and it's really tough for the community to lose him. Jason, I'll let you continue on.
Yeah, David Rempe, very good friend of the Bear family and the Bear family restaurants and bars. He was a big fan of cycling and UK football and basketball. He came to all the beer dinners at Village Idiot. And really, really appreciated craft brews and good food and just the nicest guy that you could ever talk to. We're going to miss him a lot.
Yeah, the guy came across extremely genuine. The thing I love most about David wasn't necessarily his love of beer, but his love of life.
Yeah.
When he came in, he brightened the room. He had this youthful look and appearance on his face, and he exuded optimism all the time. He was always looking for a joke around the next corner. You couldn't say anything about him seeing the brighter side of it. It's those guys. Those are nice guys, and so they make the world a better place. We should all want to be a little bit more like David because he didn't burden anyone in conversation. He didn't burden anyone whenever it comes to the drama of life. He wanted to celebrate the goodness in everything at every opportunity, and so whenever he came into my bar, and I was happy enough to be the bartender behind the bar, I knew he was going to brighten my day. My day had become better because he was in it.
I want to take a moment of silence, and this would be the silence of the purest form for him because this is something that he would enjoy. You know, we could hear the background of Pazos, hear everybody having a good time. This is something that he would really like. So,
cheers
just
to
take
David.
About 10 seconds.
Cheers, David.
Cheers, David. We'll be right back. have come to the end of yet another Apostos podcast episode. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I want to thank you, Kevin, Jason, for joining me here. It's been
thank
a blast.
Yeah.
As it always is, Pazzo's Pint Night, always enjoying those great beers. Just want to say thank you guys so much for tuning in. Question for next week. What we got?
Let's see. Let's come up with a quick one real quick. Okay, what's your favorite derby beer?
What is your
How's
favorite
that
derby beer?
What do you prefer to drink whenever you got the guys around, when you're betting on the Pawnees, and when you're starting to watch racetracks a little bit? What do you prefer to drink? Let's hear
it. Expand it a little bit. What is your favorite derby beer, but also what is your favorite derby food?
I like it. I like it, Jason.
And, guys, I know that we didn't really get to our question of last a few weeks ago episode, but what we will do, I promise you, is episode 9, when we get back here, we will address those questions immediately. That will be our first order of business. We'll get right to it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is the Pazzo's Podcast.